Let's just ask a very dangerous question. So here's a dangerous question. Does anybody remember what I preached on last week? No volunteers. Does anybody remember the phrase, more Lord? Okay, there you go. More Lord, yeah. That was fun. We were talking about more of his presence, more of his spirit. Being filled with the spirit was the message last week. It is now going into part two. I didn't know there was a part two, but that's what we're going to do today. And so we're just going to call this More Lord Part Two. If you have your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. And I'm going to read this one out of two different versions. The New King James Version is what a lot of you have because I like the New King James Version, and a lot of people have gravitated from the King James to the New King James. I did that. I found the New King James was much easier for most people to follow along with. It got rid of the these and thous and things we don't say, but still stuck with pretty much what the King James did. And then there are a lot of other versions out there, but Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, are you there yet? Most of you are because you use little things that have buttons and you doot, 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 and you can just get there. And that's not a bad thing. I hear some people whining because you don't carry paper Bibles. I went to look for one of mine the other day, and I found out, wow, it's heavy. It's like, that was one thing I noticed right away. And I also noticed the binding on the outside was prickly because it's so old that, you know, some of it started to curl, and all my sweaty holding it in my hand for years had done that to the binding. So, you know, it's nice to be able to have, and I use technology to help me with what I do with you all, so it's good. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, are you so foolish? We read this last week, but we're going to do it again today. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And then the New Living Translation says it this way, and I really like this. I thought it helped it. You know, I like to look at the different Bible versions and see what helps me think it through, process it. How foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect in your own human effort? This isn't something that we can do on our own. This is something that only happens by the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing. And so we said last week over and over that we needed more of the Spirit by saying, more, Lord. Everybody say, more, Lord. Yeah, we need more of His Spirit. That's what we're calling for. That's what we're crying out for. More of the Spirit of God. And my point of using this verse was not only to say that you can't do it on your own, but to also say, we can do this. We can do this. We can walk in the Spirit. We can live in the Spirit. We can have fresh fillings of the Spirit. And by doing so, we can keep pace with what God wants to do and do the very things that seem like they're out of reach for us. And all of that comes not by what we do, but by us just being willing vessels, you know, to just say, more, Lord, more of your Spirit, and adding that Spirit to what we're doing. Now, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 is going to also be an important verse today. If you want to go there, that would be good. And it's not very far from where you are, so you ought to be able to get there pretty quickly. So go to Galatians 5, 22, and we're going to look at verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, I think this is the NIV version, I didn't note it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Jesus Freaks memorized this. This was one of our songs. We used to sing it when we would gather together at Rising Park in a shelter house or in the back of some Christian bookstore that let us have the space, or wherever we could find a spot, that's where we gathered. And we would sing, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, 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 love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, 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 love. We sang that one a lot. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Yeah, we use that word a lot nowadays, don't we? Temperance. How many of you are glad that I didn't use a version that says temperance? How many of you have used the word temperance in your life? No, not very many hands there. We don't say that a lot. It has to do with self-control. So we would sing those things and we would memorize those things, and it helped us memorize the Word of God, which was actually a good thing. So, you know me, I've always wanted to encourage you and myself, and I have, you know, one of the sayings that I picked up over the years is check yourself before you wreck yourself. One of the good things that we want to do. If we drive down the road and we're not paying attention to where we're going, how we're going, how fast we're going, we can run into trouble. God gives us His Word as good information, not condemnation. So again today, just like last week, if you've not come in here filled with the Spirit to overflowing, the most spiritual person you've ever been, there is therefore now no condemnation. We want to just try to get the information to you to help you become more like God wants you to be. And that's to your benefit. That's not just so God can say, oh, look, I've got all these wonderful robots doing everything I want them to do because I tell them what to do by the Holy Spirit, and they just... No, He wants us to be in relationship with Him so that we get the benefit of walking in His Spirit and doing what He planned for us to do from the foundation of the world. So here's a couple of questions. What kind of fruit are we bearing? Yeah. Let's go back to the question. There was this wonderful phone sound if you couldn't hear it on the live stream. It's awesome. So almost put an exclamation point. What kind of fruit are we bearing? And does it look like the list above? Above on my paper. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, some people say, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Does the fruit of our life look like that? Do you feel like the fruit of your life looks like that? Do I feel like the fruit of my life looks like that? And if it doesn't, we need to know that it can. See, right there, that was different than some preachers.
You need to straighten up. Your life should look like this.
No, it's not always going to look like this. So what you need to do is know that it can look like this. You can be full of these things. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the natural result of being filled with the Spirit. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You've had those moments where you felt the presence of God and you were filled with the Spirit, and it's just like you looked around and you just loved everybody. But it didn't happen at work. No, just kidding. You know, sometimes, depending on where you work and what you're doing, you might not feel like you love everybody. I know those things happen. So if it doesn't, then we need to know that it can, and if it does, even a little bit, we need to know that we can have more. Everybody say, more, Lord. I want more of what's in Galatians 5, that fruit of the Spirit stuff. And if you want, go back and look at Galatians 5 later and read the fruit of the flesh, because sometimes that's how our lives look, and they shouldn't. And they don't need to. It's not even like they shouldn't. It's they don't need to. I can have the fruit of the Spirit in my life, and I can have it every day. And it doesn't go out of season, and it's not impossible to get. And if the truckers strike, it still would be delivered. I'm on the verge of it, aren't I? Okay. Do any of you remember a commercial? I thought about trying to dig it up on YouTube, and then I thought, it's do you remember, everything's better with Blue Bonnet on it? How many of you remember that? Okay, yeah. Everybody my age and older. Okay. Turned 65 and that's what happens to you. You remember stuff that nobody else remembers. Or very few. Well, here's the thing. Everything's better with Holy Spirit on it. Everything's better with Holy Spirit on it. You can get Holy Spirit on everything. Your hamburger will be better with Holy Spirit on it. It'll taste great. Everybody say, more, Lord. Some people think that in order to change the things that we're doing, we have to stop everything that we're doing. But what if we actually did change everything we are doing? What if we did change everything we are doing? Because we need to think of everything we are doing as an opportunity for the Holy Spirit. That is not easy. But it could be. Maybe it's easier than we think. Somebody says, well, there's a lot of things that, you know, people like to do. I shouldn't say I like to do. People like to do that they can't do if they're gonna follow the Spirit. They can't do that. Well, let me give you an example of one. How many of you like to get high? No hands. Well, I do, because I'm going to tell you what we learned in the Jesus movement. There's no high like the Most High. Did anybody remember ever hearing that from Jesus people? You have to be my age or older, probably. I was 14 during the Jesus movement. You know, that's most of the hippies that I was with were older than me. And they had been high. A lot of them had been high on all sorts of stuff. But what they found out was there's no high like the Most High. And what I found out was there is a high with the Most High. I have been in places where the presence of the Lord and the feelings of ecstasy that go with that are incredible. And I want to be there more often. How many of you would like to be there? Say, more, Lord. Put your hand on somebody and say, get them, Jesus. Come on, what would happen if the presence of the Lord broke out in this room in such a way that no one could resist it? And by the way, I believe that a lot of times when you see people like manifesting that thing where they're slain in the Spirit, we call it where they're out, God puts them out. I believe that only comes because his insistence comes up against our resistance. And so he just puts us down, and then he just lets the Holy Spirit work on us because we got over, our wiring got out of whack, and we just had to go down so he could rewire us because he went just took us from 15 amps to 20. For those of you who understand electricity, you know what I'm saying. He just wired us for something better for the future. That's what he does sometimes. So when we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, it makes us better. It leads us to greater. Our biggest issue is that we are so used to doing everything by ourselves, our way, the best we know how, that we forget to ask for more. But everything, when it has God on it, creates an increase. So Lisa and I have finally gotten around to watching the Jesus, what's the thing called? Yeah, The Chosen, thank you. And one of my favorite scenes so far in The Chosen is when Jesus is there with Peter and the boat gets full. He says, put your net down, and Peter's like, whatever. I think they should have written it that way, honestly, since they were rewriting it into a modern vernacular. Whatever, okay, since you asked. But you know, that boat gets full of the fish, and it's just so fun to watch. That's what God wants to do for you everywhere you go. He wants to add, increase what's happening in your life so that you get more of what he has. That's our God. That's who he is. And so we just need to learn to invite the Holy Spirit to come along. So, for example, if I asked you what you do for a living, what would you say? People ask that all the time, don't they? That's a common question when somebody meets you. Oh, what do you do? And sometimes they say for a living. You know, a lot of you ladies have gotten the question, do you work outside the home? We used to just say, do you work? But then we guys started getting slapped around for it. You know, it's like, what do you mean? Do I work? Yes, I work. I work harder than you. And that's true. Women who stay home with the kids, like, men know. We know. I got out of the house today. I got to go to work. Love my kids. They're killing me. So, you know, you understand how that can work sometimes. It's hard work. So people ask you what you do, and you have a comment, and usually you say, I do blah, blah. What if, maybe you even want to try this, what if you started telling them whatever blah blah is? Think for a second. What is it you would tell them if they asked you, what do? What would you say? I blah blah, whatever that is. What if you started saying, oh, I'm a supernatural blah blah? Imagine the looks on their face, first of all. That's got to be fun, right? I mean, is that going to be fun or what? What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a supernatural tree trimmer. I'm a supernatural salesperson. You're a supernatural salesperson? Yes, I am. I get words of knowledge over my clients. You could. That's an idea. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Get them on the phone, get a word of knowledge, mess their life up. Work the good. What if you're a supernatural whatever? Well, how can I be a supernatural? You are a supernatural one because you're naturally supernatural, because that's God who God created you to be. He created you to live in His realm, not just in yours, to do things His way, not just yours, so that you can have the benefit of doing things His way, not just yours. So that your boats get filled up, like Peter's did. Peter doing it on his own, not so much. Peter doing it with God, boatloads. Everything we do can and should be an opportunity for the demonstration of the Spirit. More Lord. More Lord. Yeah. And I mean, it's not that we don't have jobs that we have to pay attention to. You know, some of you have jobs where if you're not paying attention while you're doing it, you could lose a finger. I get it. So we have to pay attention to what we're doing. But at the same time, what if we can say, Holy Spirit, come? So if I'm an auto mechanic, I don't think we have any auto mechanics in the congregation right now. If I'm an auto mechanic, I can be a supernatural auto mechanic whose shop, place of business, is full of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Let's just say self-control. What if, and by the way, how many of you have ever been to an auto mechanic who needed some self-control? They don't call it busted knuckles for nothing. There was a place called Busted Knuckles Auto Shop. Where was that? Someplace there was one. We've lived a few places. So Busted Knuckles Auto Shop. You know, that's a good thing. By the way, part of Chris Follettin's testimony, if you ever get to listen to Chris, is he had auto mechanic work in his background and owned a few gas stations and auto mechanic shops and parts and all sorts of things. And he can tell you that's not easy to be a Spirit-filled auto mechanic. Again, no condemnation here. But if that's not what you're currently experiencing, long for something more. Long for the more of God. Ask God to put His presence in the middle of things. Maybe you start, I don't know, playing a little worship music in the background where you work if you can get away with it. Or write new lyrics to the ones that are being sung over the loudspeaker system where you work, or whatever. This is just an invitation that I'm giving us today, just an encouragement that I'm giving us to say, more, Lord, put more. I'm retired. Okay, more of your presence in my retirement. Any area where I'm not experiencing the fruit of the Spirit is an area where I can invite the Spirit, and I can invite Him in, and He can change the dynamic of what's going on there. Just by saying, come, Holy Spirit, more, Lord. And I find myself even, you know, you get to run around being a pastor, and I work over and help out at Mercy Hospital as a chaplain, and I get to pray with people. But I find myself, before I go meet with someone or before I go into a room at Mercy, saying, more, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Help me find what I need to say to this person. And not everybody I run into over there is all that excited and lovely. I sat down the other day in a emergency room next to a young lady and said, "Hi, I'm Chaplain Tim. I just wanted to come by and say hi." And she goes, "I don't need no lecture." And I laughed. Because that's not why I was there. I wasn't there. I don't know why she thought I was going to lecture her, but that's what some people think, you know. Oh, you're a preacher. You're going to lecture me. No. I just wanted to encourage. And the nurse came in right away, and I didn't get to talk to her much, but it was still, you know, just a chance for me to smile and say, no, that's not why I'm here. And I didn't lose my love. I didn't. Speaking of love, it's interesting that it's the first thing listed by Paul when he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And here we are, day before Valentine's Day, and everybody's running around doing that love thing and talking about love. Not everybody, but a lot of people are. You know how that goes. There's hearts everywhere and candy and stuff. Love is just one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's also the first and foremost expression of the Spirit. And we know that the Scripture says God is love. It is the nature of God. And so the most famous portion of that Scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 13. If you want, you can turn there, but I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to read different passages and different versions, but you're familiar with this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Excuse me. Love never fails. I've read so many versions of this. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And we memorized this one too, as Jesus Freaks sang it. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Does that sound King Jamesy to you? That's how we sang it. As a young man, someone told me that I should replace the word love with my name and read it. Isn't that an interesting thought? Now, I don't know that person was encouraging me to invite the Holy Spirit in to do this for me, or whether that person was just trying to tell me I needed to straighten up. It probably was the latter. But nevertheless, it wasn't bad advice. So I'm going to read it again with Tim in the place of love. And what I want you to do is, when you hear me say Tim, I want you to automatically put your name there in your head. Okay, can you do that? Yeah, just put your name in that spot. And I may stop and laugh a lot because it says, Tim is patient. Am I, honey? Sometimes. Yeah, exactly. Tim is kind. Okay, just notice I'm kinder than I am patient. Right there, verification. The woman who lives with me can tell you the truth. Tim does not envy. I really don't. There isn't much anybody's got that I want, because I've got everything I want, and his name is Jesus. That one's easier for me. Well, not easy for some people. That one's always been easy for me. I don't know why. Tim does not boast and is not proud. Don't ask. How about you? Don't forget to put your name in there. How does that feel when you put your name in there and say, I don't boast and I am not proud? Tim does not dishonor others and is not self-seeking. I really try to work on that. I like to joke with people. You know, we do that in this church a lot. It's one of our love languages, a little sarcasm. Not an official love language in any book I've ever read, but it works here. We have fun. Tim is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. You know, I've gotten better at that one. There was a time when I kept more records of what people did, but there was a situation a while back, and I was trying to think, wait a minute, how many times has this person done this to me? And I tried to think, and I really didn't have a very good record of it, and then I kind of smiled. I just don't remember. It's all right. I can just keep loving them anyway. You think that's probably better for me. You know, this is good for your health, by the way. Your blood pressure will stay a lot better if you can love. Tim does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Tim always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Tim never fails. My wife will tell you that last one is not perfectly true. But while I make little mistakes in some of the things that I do and I don't do everything perfectly, I have less failure in my life when I lean into the Spirit. I just have less failure. Holy Spirit has stopped me from doing things a few times and told me things right in the middle of what seemed like just business I've had to stop. I was signing a contract for a car once, and the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. And he saved me. Saved me money. And the choice was a better choice when we did get to the car we needed to get, because we were getting the wrong car. Holy Spirit, just involved in your life, can do so much. So, John is patient. Joyce is kind. Sue does not envy. Tom does not boast and is not proud. Do not ask Karen. Karen does not dishonor others and is not self-seeking. Mark is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. Gwen does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Lisa always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Matt never fails. I was waiting for a big laugh from over here. It's Valentine's Day. She's got to figure it out. Got to not do that. Yeah, one time, yeah. Look, this is something that I have aspired to. Since somebody had me do that, I've aspired to this. It's become something that I want to accomplish. But with it's something I've aspired, but I've not acquired. I've not made it yet. But with the Spirit's help, I think there have been times when I have done this much better than is humanly possible. Which means he helped. Like it got beyond me. It was more Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit, help me. There are many times when this is the way to go beyond our human capacities, just simply by saying, Holy Spirit, come. More, Lord. Anything to just indicate that we're ready for God to do something. And getting him in the middle of it. So let me take a risk and jump into politics for a moment. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I want you to do your best not to respond. These are rhetorical questions. And that means that you're supposed to think and not just blurt something out. Yeah. I'm talking directly to you, Lisa. Since you, it's hard not to. So just hold it back a little bit. Are you ready? Okay, you understand what the goal here? Okay. Here we go. Do you love Joe Biden and do you love Donald Trump? Boy, the faces. Wanting to say something. Let me ask you, does God love both of these men? Yep. Did Jesus die for both of them? Yep, he did. Most people in our country have very strong opinions about these guys, do you think? Yeah, probably so. Strong opinions. I can't remember any time, you know, between two different elections and change of the guard and all that. I can't remember any time when there's been such strong opinion nationwide as we have right now. And depending on how you see things, you probably have issues with one or both of them. It's important for us not to let our issues keep us from loving people. And that's why we desperately need the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, more, Lord. Yeah, we do. We need the Holy Spirit. Because what we cannot do on our own, we can do with the help of the Spirit. We can do stuff with the help of the Spirit that are just beyond our wildest imaginations when we try to do it on our own. Now, let me ask you this. Does anyone here have any family members who you love very, very much, but you hate what they do? Yeah. If you're breathing, you probably have that. That happens to us all. And by the way, God knows what that's like. God knows exactly what's that like, what that's like. So we need to ask the Spirit's help with this. And we can, to some extent, love certain people to a degree, but there are other people who we just want to write them off if we don't have some help. Aren't you glad that God didn't write you off? He's not like that. So not only is love patient and kind, and not only should Tim be patient and kind, but God's people should be patient and kind, and they should make it their aim to be patient and kind with the people that you don't want to be patient and kind with. There are some people that just walk into the room and you know them and you know what a rascal they are and you immediately don't want to be patient and kind. I get it. So in your mind, I want you to do something. One more thing. I've been messing with your mind today. Think for a moment of someone who you find hard to love right now. Can you think of somebody who's hard to love? Got anybody in your head who's hard to love? I got someone. One popped into my head. Somebody who's hard to love. Okay. Got them pictured? Good. Now, I'm going to read through 1 Corinthians one more time. And I want you to picture that person in your mind. So, I'm not going to make you recite this, but I'm just going to let you feel like you're saying this. And don't say out loud the person. I will be patient and kind to... Put that person in the blank. Fill in the blank. That's what I just did. I will not be envious of them. I will not make myself out to be better than them. I will not dishonor them in order to make myself look better. I will not allow myself to be easily angered by them, and I will not keep record of the wrongs they have done to me. I will not delight in evil if it happens to them, but I will rejoice with the truth and pray that they receive it. I will pray for their protection, trust God on their behalf, hope for the best for them, and persevere in prayer for them. I will ask God to help them experience real success. I just did a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And I just put my action end that paraphrase, saying, this is how I need to choose to be. And can I do it? I'm sure somebody's saying, but Pastor Tim, I just can't do that. Yeah, me either. Not without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on me when I'm at work. Come on me when I have to work next to somebody who's not easy to work with. Come on me when I have a family gathering or an event or something that I have to go to, and that person's going to be there, and they're going to say the stuff they always say and do the stuff they always do. Holy Spirit, come. Give me what I don't have on my own. Fill me with your presence so that somehow that presence can do what can't be done by my ability. Come, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. I'm going to pray over you right now. And when we're done praying, we'll say goodbye to the live stream. So thank you if you're on the live stream for joining us today, or if you're watching this later. It'll still work later. The thing is, we just need to say more, Lord. We just need to say more, Lord. We just need to learn to ask, Holy Spirit, come. Come into this situation. Come into this problem. Come into this horrible, weak and frail life such as mine. To help me do what that person doesn't even deserve. I'm glad that God doesn't do it because we deserve it. I'm glad he does it because he wants to make our life better. And I know that some of you have gone through some tough stuff. I won't go into the tough stuff we've gone into or gone through in our lives, my wife and I. We've had some hard things. But I imagine there are people here who have experienced some much, much, much worse things than we'll ever experience. But God, none of this is beyond his reach or his ability. So, if you will, just put your hands out like you want to receive. Come, Holy Spirit. Help our hearts and minds to be so changed that we invite you into driving home today. That we invite you into being at home with family. That we invite you into running errands if we have to this afternoon. That we invite you into preparing for a good time this evening, whether we're here or someplace else. That we would just let you be right in the middle of our Super Bowl if we're watching it. Or right in the middle of anything that we feel like we have to do. Come, Holy Spirit. Cause us to wake up tomorrow morning with this idea that the Holy Spirit can come and make things better. That everything is better with the Holy Spirit on it. That we would just bring you into the workplace. That we would just bring you into the school that we walk into. We would bring you into whatever situation we face tomorrow. That we would just let your Holy Spirit have its way in us, in all things. And where we come up short in that, Lord, help us to see that the next time there can be more, and the next time after that even more, and the next time after that even more, and the next time after that even more, until we become these people who are truly supernatural at whatever we're doing and in everything that we do all the time. We invite you in. We invite you in, and we just say more, Lord. Everybody say more, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.